And in there, behind the controls, Brown Sergeant. Mixes it up, mix it well.
Pick up the first scene, Margaret. Tempo a little bit. Yeah. Will
do. Oh, yes, you do. It's just what you need. Any grown man who goes on a winter jag on my front porch never needs.
Stay tuned for Chuck Collins, 8 tonight on KLC.
Albert, I don't want another cup of coffee.
Oh, yes, you do. It's just what you need. Any grown man who goes on a weeping jag on my front porch steps needs coffee.
Let's meet another big heart, the sort of person who takes the time to make the world a little better place to live in. This program, Just for You, the People, is The Biggest Heart, presented each Friday evening at 7:30 by Fred Ward, Hudson dealer and distributor, and by your neighborhood Hudson dealer. And here is Pete Smythe to tell you about tonight's person of The Big Heart.
Thank you, Bill, and hello, everybody. You know, people are always ganging up on Mrs. Bert Sharp, and modest and unassuming as she is, she gets pretty flustered when folks try to tell her how much they appreciate that big heart of hers. Anna Sharp feels this way about it.
It's like I told Bert at Christmas time. How can you have a Merry Christmas yourself if you haven't done something to make other folks happy?
Now, Mrs. Sharp has been at this business of doing something for somebody else for a long time. It was almost 20 years ago in the corner grocery on a winter morning.
Oh, I almost forgot, Mr. Douglas. I'd better take a 5-pound sack of flour. And that's everything today.
And we send this for you, Mrs. Sharp? You glad to run it up in the truck?
Oh, thanks, but it isn't far.
Yeah, it's pretty cold out today. The thermometer said 6 above when I opened up this morning.
Well, I had no idea it was that cold.
Hey, Mrs. Sharp, I hesitate to say anything, but somehow you always manage to get things done. Maybe you could help. Do you know the Morgan family?
I think I know who you mean. About 6 or 7 youngsters, just little folks.
Yeah.
They live in that place that sits back from the street.
That's the family. Well, in these times, Mrs. Sharp, the corner grocery man knows a lot of things about people, and those folks are in bad shape. No coal. Must be colder than agreement in that place. I don't know what they can be eating. They haven't been in here. Proud, you know. And, well, I've been carrying them for a long time.
My goodness. The father's been in the hospital, hasn't he?
That's the family. He was in the war, gassed. But he's home now, and he can't get a job.
Look here, Mr. Douglas. Not any of us are any too well off in these times, but we can't let this go on right under our noses.
That's right.
I'll get right home and have some coal delivered, and, well, suppose you send up some groceries,
all
something
right
to fill up those little ones. I'll stop by there myself.
This is almost too good to be true, Mrs. Sharp. We were about to give up hope.
No reason to do that. Your husband's out of the hospital, and once he gets a job...
Oh, if he only could. He starts out every morning early, and he comes back late at night. But jobs are so scarce, and he can't do hard manual work yet. He's not strong enough.
Now, look here, Mrs. Morgan. We're going to get that husband of yours a job. I don't know whether it'll work, but I'm going to try something. In the meantime, no more tears. You get busy, cook up a big kettle of soup for these youngsters, and you might try saying a prayer or two. This is Annie Sharp.
Oh, how are you, Annie? I'll bet you want something.
How did you guess now? Yes, I want a job for a fella.
Say, Annie, didn't anybody ever tell you about the Depression? Jobs are scarce.
Not so scarce we can't find a job for this fellow. He's a good man, a veteran, and he's got a flock of small children. All he needs is a job, Tom. You'll never be sorry.
Annie Sharp knew her man, all right. Tom got him that job 20 years ago, and he's still with the same outfit, and he's done fine. The children, who were huddled that winter day under quilts in the little house where there wasn't any coal, are grown up, and they're a credit to the community. And you can always find a package under the Christmas tree, a package to Mrs. Sharp from Mrs. Morgan. Mary Rose, down at the juvenile court, has this to say about Mrs. Sharp.
To Annie, people aren't problems. They just have them.
Which kind of explains Jerry.
But I don't want another cup of coffee.
Oh, yes, you do.
No,
it's just what you need. Any grown man who goes on a weeping jag on my front porch steps needs coffee. What in the world's wrong with you, anyway?
You wouldn't understand.
Come on, son. Tell me about it. Maybe I can help.
No, you can't help. She'll never come back.
Who's she? Your wife?
2 months ago, she just walks out and left me alone with two little kids, and then I lost my job.
And why did you lose your job? Well, what is your name, anyway?
Jerry. Jerry Banks. I guess I had too much to drink.
Mm-hmm. I thought as much. This bottle of yours hasn't helped, has it? Hasn't brought your wife back. Isn't taking care of your youngsters. Isn't getting your job back.
No, but why don't you leave me alone? I'm not worth bothering about.
Now, that's going to be up to you, Jerry. The first thing we're going to do is get the John Barleycorn out of your system. You're all through with the bottle, Jerry. You're going to learn to stand up without it.
And Jerry did. He's been back on the job for a long time now, and he's doing his level best to be both mother and father to his two children. And he knows that he can always call on a certain cheerful, white-haired lady for a helping hand when he needs it. Mrs. Bert Sharp never quite knows who she's going to find at the front door when the bell rings.
Mrs. Sharp?
That's right.
Can I talk to you? My name's Ruby Lawrence. Letty down the street sent me to you. I was working for her, and she said I was to come see you.
Sure, honey. Come in. Go right on in the living room and sit down.
Thanks. I'm afraid I don't know how to begin, Mrs. Sharp. I'm in awful trouble.
Yes, I think I understand. Sit down, Ruby. You can tell me. You ran away from home?
Yeah. How'd you know? Yeah, I ran away with this fellow. We was going to get married, he said.
But you didn't get married, did you?
No, and then he went off and left me. He was already married, you see, and I'm getting scared. The baby's going to come in just a little while, and what can I do? I can't work anymore. I haven't any money, and I... Well, maybe I'm a dope, but you see, I want to keep the baby.
No, honey, you're not silly. Is this man still in town?
Yeah, he just laughs at me. He says I can't prove anything. Oh, Mrs. Sharp, if you don't help me, I'm not going to try anymore. It would be easier just to jump into a...
Ruby, no more of that. You hear me? That's no answer to anything. Now you're going to have your baby. Yes, and you're going to be able to keep it. And somebody is going to pay for it. Ruby? I think we'd better go talk to a lawyer.
But, Mrs. Sharp, ma'am, I told you. I haven't any money to pay a lawyer.
Well, this lawyer's a friend of mine, Ruby. I don't think Bob Close will charge us anything for this job. Just wait right here. I'll go get my hat and coat and blow your nose, honey. Everything's going to be all right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it must be obvious to you that a grave injustice has been done this young girl. Innocent, believing, she placed her trust in a man utterly unworthy of her affections. Consider her as you might a daughter of your own. And I sincerely believe that you will make this man accept the responsibility for his acts. He has said, we couldn't prove anything. We have proved everything. He cannot be made to really suffer for the wrong which he has done this girl. The least we can demand of him is that he pay the few medical expenses and contribute some small measure to the child's support. I leave this case in your hands, confident the wrong will be righted in part, that tragedy will be averted, and that this girl be given a chance she deserves, the chance to be happy. Thank you. Your Honor, the plaintiff rests.
Oh, Bob, it was wonderful, just wonderful.
Why, Annie, you big baby, you're crying.
Well, so was everybody else in the jury box.
Mr. Closter, am I going to get to Kate the baby?
Why, yes, Ruby, I think so. Hey, Annie, wipe your eyes. Here comes Mary Rose.
Good job, Bob. I think you're going to get the verdict you want. Well, hello, Annie. You big softy.
Looks to me like you've been doing a little sniffing yourself.
I plead guilty. Come on over here. I want to talk to you.
Poor little thing. Honest Mary, when she came to me, she was ready to jump in the lake.
I don't doubt it. Now you probably know she is going to put the child out for adoption when it's born.
Oh, no, that's the whole thing. This fellow suggested it, and I've even hinted it might be a good thing. But she'll fight like a tiger to keep that baby.
I just thought so. Well, the baby is going to need things. I believe the court can see its way clear to give you a hand on that, Annie. As soon as this case is settled, suppose you take Ruby shopping for baby clothes.
Gee, you were sure swell to come see me here in the hospital, Mrs. Sharp.
Been in to look at that baby? He's a corker.
Yeah, ain't he wonderful? My baby. My own baby. You know, something swell's happened. My sister's here.
Oh, that's fine, Ruby. It's nice to have somebody with you.
Her husband's been called up, and so we're going to live together. Her and me and the baby. We're going to help each other, and I'm going to get a job. With what the court gives me, I won't have to depend on nobody. I can always look after my boy.
Carrie? Anna Sharp. When you come to the club luncheon tomorrow, bring along a can of something. Fruit, beans, anything. Oh, that's right. Tell you about it tomorrow.
Oh, is that right?
Look, Carrie, dear, I'd like to talk, but I have about 34 more calls to make. Yes, see you tomorrow.
Now, I want to thank all of you for being so generous. We've got a lot of wonderful food here, and I'm going to tell you it's needed. Now, old Mother Hubbard only had her dog to worry about when she found the cupboard was bare. This food is going to a woman who is so crippled from infantile paralysis that she's in a wheelchair. She's got two little children, and her husband has just gone off and left her. You can see by this stack of cans in front of me that their cupboard isn't going to be bare for quite a little while. Now then, that I've said thank you, I'm going to turn around and ask another favor. We need a...
May I finish that story, Mr. Smythe?
Indeed you can, Mary Rose. What happened then?
Well, leave it to Annie. With the help of her good neighbors and friends, She brought this woman to us at the juvenile court. It took a while, 2 or 3 months, I guess, but Annie Sharp didn't stop until this little family was taken care of. She's just that sort of person. She can't rest when she knows anybody is hungry or cold or needs a lift. The city of Denver could use 1,000 just like her.
I expect you folks down at the court hear from Mrs. Sharp often.
When Annie has a problem she can't handle by herself, she never hesitates to ask for help for somebody else. And she goes right to the top.
She certainly does. Just a few weeks ago, for instance...
Hi, Mrs. Cavallo, come in.
Hello, Mrs. Sharp. I will come in, if I may.
Oh, I haven't seen you around lately. Where have you been?
Away? No, but we had some bad news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come on in the kitchen and I'll fix us a cup of tea. What's gone wrong?
It's my boy. We got a telegram from the War Department. He's a missing in action.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Mrs. Cavallo, when did that happen?
It's been almost 3 weeks. We haven't heard another word. Oh, Mrs. Sharp, I'm just beside myself.
Yes, I can see that, you poor dear. Now, why didn't you call me?
Well, I've just been stunned. I can't believe it. Our Mike is such a bambino still. He's only 19. Oh, Mrs. Sharp isn't there anyway. We cannot find out what's happened to him.
Well, first off, I'd say let's call the Red Cross. You just sit here in the kitchen. I'll pour you a cup of tea.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Sharp. I guess maybe I need it.
You bet you do. Now then, you just drink your tea, and I'll go in and make a phone call or two.
Again? I thank you. I'm so grateful.
Yes, Red Cross? I want to talk to somebody about a soldier missing in action in Korea. Oh, thank you. Hello, this is Mrs. Bert Sharp. I'm calling for a neighbor of mine who has a son in Korea. He was reported missing in action almost 3 weeks ago. No, she's heard nothing since. She's been beside herself with worry. Oh, yes, I can get all that information for you, but how soon can you find out? I see. That long? Well, no, I'll talk to her first. Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, what did they say, Mrs. Sharp?
Oh, you're supposed to be in the kitchen drinking your tea, Mrs. Cavallo.
I couldn't sit still. Oh, my little boy. If I could just know. It's a bit of not knowing.
Mrs. Cavallo, Well, honestly, I can't afford it. But if you'll pay for a long-distance call to Washington, we might be able to find out about Mike right away.
Oh, anything. Of course I pay. Make the call.
Well, let's see. I wrote that number down. Oh, yes, here it is. Operator? Yes, I want to place a call to Washington, D.C. The number is Southside 6847. Yes, that's right. Oh, my number is Grand 4978. Yes, I'll wait. It won't be long now, Mrs. Cavallo. Of course, this may not work, but... Oh, they're ringing now.
Hello?
Is Senator Johnson there?
This is Senator Johnson speaking.
Ed, this is Annie Sharp calling from Denver.
Well, Annie, how are you? Good to hear your voice. I'll bet you want something.
Right as rain, Ed. A neighbor of mine is worried almost sick. Her boy was reported missing in action in Korea almost 3 weeks ago, and she hasn't heard a word since. Can you find out about him?
Well, I'll sure do my best, Annie. Give me the information. His name, outfit, and his serial number if you've got it.
Now, let's see. His name is Michael Cavallo. He's a private with the 1st Marine Division.
Within 48 hours, Mrs. Cavallo knew that Mike was alive. He had been wounded, but was on the road to recovery. Yes, Annie Sharp's telephone is pretty busy. Just before Christmas.
Hello?
Hello?
Mary Rose, Annie. I wanted to let you know about the wheelchair you asked for. I've located one.
Oh, that's fine, Mary. This man needs a chair so badly.
It's over at St. Luke's Hospital. Can you pick it up?
Oh, sure. We'll get it all right. And thanks so much.
Anything you want, Annie. Anytime. Just call. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, let me see. Oh, yes.
Hello?
Father, this is Anna Sharp. Could you help me with something?
Anything at all.
You know about Mr. Parker.
The crippled fellow?
Yes, we found a wheelchair for him. It's over at St. Luke's Hospital, and I need someone to go with me to pick it up.
Well, I'm glad to hear he's going to get a chair. Let's see now. This afternoon be all right?
Yes, that's fine. What time?
I'll come by for you in the car about 2 o'clock.
I'll be ready. Thank you, Father.
That wheelchair is in very good condition.
It is. But, Father, I thought you were going to tie a steer with that rope you brought.
Well, just didn't want to lose it.
We won't. Not tied up with a rope that size.
I expect George Parker will think that Christmas has come early.
It's those children I've been thinking about with Christmas so near.
There are three youngsters, aren't there?
Yes, two boys and a girl. Hmm. Well, Father, my friends never fail me. I'm sure we can manage to give them all a Merry Christmas.
And Mrs. Sharp's telephone was busy again. Through Mary Rieger of Judge Kettering's court, there were clothes for the children. It was a shopping expedition to remember. And at Christmas, a big basket from the juvenile court came to make it a perfect holiday. And Bert Sharp said to his wife,
Anna, you're certainly looking pleased about something.
Just remembering those Parker children, Bert. Their faces. Their happy, happy faces.
We could just go on and on. There's the story of the blind home and how Anna Sharp and her friends made it possible. There's a wonderful story in the war work that Mrs. Sharp did. And then there's the story of Anna Sharp's surprise party. Everybody knew about the party except the guest of honor. Her friends and her family had gathered greetings from everywhere and put them all in a great big book. And her own grandson, the apple of her eye, presented the book to her at the banquet. Among the letters and cards so carefully pasted in Annie's birthday book was this one from Mary Rose.
During the many years that I have had the privilege of knowing you, I have always been grateful that we have a citizen in the city and county of Denver who gives so generously of her time in the interests and welfare of others. To me, you have always epitomized service. Long may you carry on your good work and be numbered among the people of the city of Denver who have a big heart and a fine soul.
In just a moment, we're going to meet this woman with the big heart and the fine soul, Mrs. Bert Sharp. But tonight, we want to welcome all of the out-of-towners here for the stock show. Many of our stockman friends have been in to see us at Fred Ward's, and one of them had this to say.
Being a rancher, I keep pretty busy most of the year without ever coming to town. Once a year, I make it a point to get into Denver. Of course, it's always at stock show time. That's not the only reason I come to town, though. Every year about this time, I get a new Hudson. It becomes sort of a habit with me, and it's a good habit to have. In my opinion, Hudson is the best automobile going. Always liked to buy the best of everything since, well, the best lasts longer and it's always a good investment. So once again, in 1951, I'm going to invest in a new Hudson. Probably be one of those Hudson Hornets I've been reading about. Seems like a mighty nice automobile. It's easy to sell me a Hudson. I'm already sold on them. I've had Hudsons before, and know they're tops.
Perhaps you've had a Hudson before and already know how great a Hudson really is. Or perhaps you've never known the thrill of riding in one. Take the once-around-the-block test at Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln in Denver, or your nearest Hudson dealer. Then you, too, will be sold on a 1951 Hudson.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's person of the big heart, Mrs. Bert Sharp. Mrs. Sharp, we know how you feel. Don't you be flustered, because we're going to turn the tables on you in just a moment. Would you like to say hello to your friends out there?
I would like to say hello to my friends. And I want to thank the juvenile court, and I want to thank all these wonderful people that have helped me help people. And I hope I can continue with the help of God. And I want to thank Mary Rose and Alice Carey and Mary Rigger. They've been wonderful. And so is Judge Kenyon.
Well, we're glad to have you here this evening. Speaking of friends, Mrs. Sharp, we have a small studio here to work in, and believe me, Mrs. Sharp came in the door, and I don't know how many walked in, but we must have, looking around, about 10,000, I think. Yes. So. Well, I understand you have a lot of them, and this afternoon we took the liberty to call one of your very good friends to ask his permission to impersonate him on tonight's show. We talked to Senator Ed Johnson in Washington, D.C., and he asked us to give you his regards.
I want to say hello, Ed.
And whether he can hear us or not.
And I want to say to Bob Close, he's wonderful.
Fine, thank you. And now I have a whole list of things here for a moment, so if you'll just stand right here. If you'd like to get a chair, why, just sit down.
Well, I stand.
All right, fine. First, we have the scroll, which reads, The Biggest Heart, Anna Sharp, presented January 12, 1951. Great people carry big hearts, and it's signed Fred Ward. And then we have some flowers over here. Would you bring those out here? Here's a beautiful orchid.
Oh, they're beautiful.
From the Park Floral Company at 1643 Broadway. And in the long box here, let's get those roses open here. Some beautiful roses.
Beautiful.
And something came in which touched me right here, where it touches you, you know. Just before we went on the air, another orchid came in for you. And I didn't know who it was from, so I opened the envelope and looked at the card. And it said thusly, to the best friend I ever had, Maddie Lieb. You know, Maddie?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful person. She's...
Well, that also. And then Clyde Jackson, our official photographer, is here to take pictures to commemorate the event so that you can have those for your scrapbook. And Clyde is the man with the glasses there, the good-looking one. And he specializes in photos for your home and of your home and of weddings and of your children. Grano and Blake, they have a gift certificate, and if you will take this and present it to Walt Blake, he has a gift for you. They're famous as manufacturing jewelers, and they're at 1653 Welton, Grano and Blake. The Golden Lantern, they want you to come have dinner with them up to Broadway near 13th. That's Denver's favorite dining place. Tony's Apple Cart, there's a big basket of fruit here for you from Tony's at 430 South Colorado Boulevard. And the United Studios wants you to come down and have your portrait taken. United Studios, 1521 Curtis. Zoll Jewelry, Sam and Bill Zoll at 1619 16th Street. They said, we want to get in on this act, too. And they sent you a rhinestone pin by Bogoff Creations. It's beautiful. I know you'll like it. And the North Denver Furniture, another friend of yours, there it's 3936 Tennyson, as if you didn't know. But George Saunders, we talked it over, and I said, what would she like to have? And he said, you know, I think she'd like to have one of those Sunbeam automatic coffee makers so that when all of her friends come in, we can have coffee. And now my personal congratulations. You're doing a great job. May there be more like you.
I want to thank all my friends that come here tonight. Everyone, all my friends. I'm very happy, John.
If you would like to suggest some big-hearted person for this show, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the big heart has done, so be as complete as possible. On behalf of Fred Ward, I want to thank the following. Park Floral Company, Jackson Photo Service, Grano and Blake, Golden Lantern Restaurant, Tony's Apple Cart, United Photo Studios, Zoll Jewelry, Good Heart Laundry, and the North Denver Furniture Company. Our cast tonight included Clayton Brace, Betty Trunk, Barbara Peters, Jim Herrick, and Dick Wolhoff. Mrs. Mary Rose portrayed herself. Barbara Peters played the part of Mrs. Sharp. Music by Art Gow, direction by Charles Roberts, and script by Betty Trunk. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30 when Fred Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor, will present another in this series of programs saluting the biggest heart.
This is KLC, KLC-FM, Denver.